Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We're continuing on the Srimad Bhagavatam, and we're in the prayers of Queen Kunti. And the verse today is text number 36. And it begins with Srinvanti Gayanti. Chandra, why are you smiling?
That's the theme of the day.
It's the theme of the day. Wow. Nice. Yeah, everything fit together today, somehow, by Krishna's mercy. It's one of those days, one of those lifetimes. Okay, so here we go. Srinvanti Gayanti Granantya Bhikshnasaha.
Srinvanti Gayanti Granantya Bhikshnasaha.
Smaranti Nandanti Tevehitam Jana.
Smaranti Nandanti Tevehitam Jana.
Teva Pashyantya Vachadena Tavakam.
Teva Pashyantya Chadena Tavakam.
Bhava Pravaho Paramam Padambujam.
Bhava Pravaho Paramam Padambujam.
Please chant.
Srinvanti Gayanti Granantya Bhikshnasaha.
Srinvanti Gayanti Granantya Bhikshnasaha.
Smaranti Nandanti Tavehitam Janaha.
Smaranti Nandanti Tavehitam Janaha.
Deva Pashyantya Chirena Tavakam.
Deva Pashyantya Vacharena Tavakam.
Bhava Pravaho Paramam Padambujam.
Bhava Pravaho Paramam Padambujam.
Srinvanti
Gayanti
Granantya Bhikshnasaha.
Smaranti Nandanti Tavehitam Jana. Taeva Pashyantya Chirena Tavakam.
Bhava
Pravaho Paramam Padambujam. Smanudanti Gayanti Granantya Bhikshnasa.
Smaranti Nandanti
Tavehitam Jana. Eva Pashyanti Acharena Tavakam.
Bhava Pravaho Paramam Padambujam.
Srinvanti.
Here.
Gayanti,
chant.
Grananti,
take.
Remember that word. Very important in this shloka, especially for our sankirtan. Those who take. So, if you, she's saying here, if you just take it, someone just takes it or accepts it, that's on an equal level with hearing and chanting. All these things, very powerful. So when we're presenting, if someone just takes it, Abhikshnasaha, continuously. Smaranti, remember. Adjust the smara smarare. Oh, always remember, always remember. Nandanti, take pleasure. Tava, your. Ihatam, activities. Janaha,
people in general.
Also remember that word for our Sankirtan. People in general. Te,
they.
Eva,
certainly.
Pashyanti,
can see.
Achirena,
very soon.
Tavakam,
your.
Bhava Pravaha,
the current of rebirth.
Uparamam,
cessation.
Padambujam,
lotus feet.
Translation. Oh Krishna, those who continuously hear, chant, and repeat your transcendental activities, or take pleasure in others doing so, certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. Karunath Prabhu, could you do the purport, please?
The Supreme Lord Krishna cannot be seen by our present conditional vision. In order to see him, one has to change his present vision by developing a different condition of life, full of spontaneous love of Godhead. When Sri Krishna was personally present on the face of the globe, not everyone could see him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Materialists like Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, Kansa, Jarasandha, and Shishupal were highly qualified personalities by acquisition of material assets, but they were unable to appreciate the presence of the Lord. Therefore, even though the Lord may be present before our eyes, it is not possible to see him unless we have the necessary vision. This necessary qualification is developed by the process of devotional service only, beginning with hearing about the Lord right from the right sources. The Bhagavad Gita is one of the popular literatures which are generally heard, chanted, repeated, etc., by the people in general. But in spite of such hearing, etc., sometimes it is experienced that the performer of such devotional service does not see the Lord eye to eye. The reason is that the first item, Shravana, is very important. If hearing is from the right sources, it acts very quickly. Generally, people hear from unauthorized persons. Such unauthorized persons may be very learned by academic qualifications, but because they do not follow the principles of devotional service, hearing from them becomes a sheer waste of time. Sometimes, the texts are interpreted fashionably to suit their own purposes. Therefore, first one should select a competent and bona fide speaker and then hear from him. When the hearing process is perfect and complete, the other processes become automatically perfect in their own way. There are different transcendental activities of the Lord, and each and every one of them is competent to bestow the desired result, provided the hearing process is perfect. In the Bhagavatam, the activities of the Lord begin from his dealings with the Pandavas. There are many other pastimes of the Lord in connection with his dealings with the Asuras and others. And in the 10th canto, the sublime dealings with his conjugal associates, the Gopis, as well as with his married wives at Dwarka, are mentioned. Since the Lord is absolute, there is no difference in the transcendental nature of each and every dealing of the Lord. But sometimes people, in an unauthorized hearing process, take more interest in hearing about his dealings with the Gopis. Such an inclination indicates the lusty feelings of the hearer, so a bona fide speaker of the dealings of the Lord never indulges in such hearings. One must hear about the Lord from the very beginning, as in the Srimad Bhagavatam or any other scriptures, and that will help the hearer attain perfection by progressive development. One should not, therefore, consider that his dealings with the Pandavas are less important than his dealings with the Gopis. We must always remember that the Lord is transcendental, always transcendental to mundane attachment. In all the above-mentioned dealings of the Lord, he is the hero in all circumstances, and hearing about him or his devotees or competence is conducive to spiritual life. It is said that the Vedas and Puranas, etc., are all made to revive our lost relation with him. Hearing of all these scriptures is essential.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagada Raghunatham Vitham Tham Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvadhutam Harijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhandidamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tharine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinamine Sri Varshabhanadi Devi Daitaya Kripadaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daine Prabhave Namaha Madhuryo Jvala Premadya Sri Rupanubha Bhaktira Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatharine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dhanta Harine Namo Gaurakishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambara Sambode Badambujayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sachidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Sarupaya Rupanuga Bhadayate Gaura Virbhava Bhomestvam Nirdesasa Janapriya Vaishnava Sarva Bhoma Shri Jagannathayate Namaha Panchakalpa Drubhyascha Kripa Sindhavya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahabhananyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tushe Namaha Panchatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanda Radha Kanta Namostute Chaitam Surato Pangor Mama Manda Matekati Matsarva Sambhatam Bojao Radha Manana Mohano Divya Vrindaranya Kalpa Drumadha Srimad Ratna Ghara Shinghasanastau Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Deva Prishtali Viseva Manusmarani Srimad Rasa Rasarambi Vamshi Bhatata Taspitaha Karshan Venu Svaner Gopir Gopinata Sriyestunaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrindai Tosi Devai Priyai Keshavasya Krishna Bhakti Pradi Devi Satyavachai Namo Namaha Shri Nasringa Jai Nasringa Jai Jai Nanasingha Pralada Desha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Vringa Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Srinvanti Gayanti Granantya Bhikshnasa Smaranti Nandanti Tavehidam Jana Taiva Pashyantya Pacharena Tavakam Bhava Bravaho Paramam Padam Bhujam O Krishna, those who continuously hear, chant, and repeat your transcendental activities or take pleasure in others doing so certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. In the first paragraph, Srila Prabhupada mentions very strongly about the need to have a qualification to see the Lord, which is developed through the process of devotional service. And there are many materially qualified people who may have knowledge of Sanskrit and may be vastly learned and Indology or archaeology. For instance, someone might think that because someone has a PhD in archaeology and can go to the battlefield site of Kurukshetra and do an archaeological dig with a research grant,
for with millions of dollars, that perhaps they would have some inside track to discovering the real truth of what took place there. Or perhaps someone who is a great Sanskritist could go through the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam on their own, and they could learn the great truths of the Vedas. However, in the Brahma Samhita, of course, we sing this prayer, Advaitam Achutam Anadim Anantarupam Adyam Purana Purusham Navayo Vadam Cha Vedeshu Durlabam Adurlabam Amabhaktau. That Krishna is not accessible through the Vedas, actually, but very easily through bhakti, through devotional service. And one must approach him in that way because he is the supreme. He is beyond everyone. And no one can approach him without devotion. And he says so clearly in the Bhagavad Gita, bhaktyamam abhijananti, that by devotion, that is the way that you can approach me. And by becoming my devotee, he tells Krishna in the beginning of the 9th chapter, because you are my devotee, because you are never envious of me, I'm going to reveal myself to you. So the actual process to approach Krishna is through bhakti. And one must develop gradually through the process of devotional service, step by step, and become qualified. It's not that, you know, when you enter into a group, any group, whether it's in a work situation or in school or anything, you can just bust in and become immediately advanced and accepted by the group. Gradually, you come in and there's trust. You develop trust with the group and so on. And gradually, you become accepted. And the teacher accepts you and begins to teach you so many things. So one must also approach properly and have this necessary qualification through bhakti. And to do this, one has to hear from the right person. So there are many people who have academic qualifications but may completely mislead us on the path of devotional service. So one has to find out what does Krishna say about who to approach. And in the Bhagavad Gita, he says that one should approach somebody who's in knowledge of him. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya uparakshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshina. Someone who's a tatvadarshi, who has actually seen the truth for himself and has experienced through following the process also. If one approaches the right person and hears properly, then it's a natural progression that one's heart will change and that one will develop from within the core of one's heart the necessary qualification to approach Krishna. How to approach Krishna? Even qualification for chanting properly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. One may also receive the Gayatri mantras. It's very much necessary to advance in devotional service. It's being given to us, this process is like it's being lowered down to us. Like, for instance, if you fall into a well or you get trapped somewhere, it's a very distressful situation, actually. If you get trapped somewhere and you think you can't get out. Once I was lost in Japan, I got lost in Tokyo, and I took a wrong turn somewhere, and it took me hours to get back. And during a few of those hours, at first I was blissfully chanting, and I was walking along, when I was doing a long japa walk, following the river, and I was thinking, man, I'm really advanced, I can really chant. And then I got lost, and after about half an hour of being really lost and thinking, I may never get back, besides we had a plane to catch, and that made it worse, I started panicking, and I'm thinking, I'm not very advanced at all. I was like, Hare Krishna, oh, Krishna, please save me. Immediately I could feel that, hey, you're not advanced. You have no taste at all. And it was like, Krishna, save me. So then I was looking and I was chanting. And it was very distressful. You know, when you actually realize how lost or stuck you are somewhere, then you can really, you know, we don't realize it, that we're stuck, lost in the material world. I mean, I should say, I don't realize it. Because it's, Maya is so strong. It makes us think, oh, I'm okay. You know, have a look at this. Oh, I'm all set. I'm okay. You know, don't worry about it. I'm okay. No problem. There is a big problem. It's a huge problem, and we're right in the middle of it, and we have to get out of it. So how to get out of it is that we have to take the rope. If it's handed to us, if someone gives us a clue how to get unlost, how to find ourselves again, we should, you know, take it. Someone lowers the rope. So through the process of disciplic succession, we're getting this Bhagavad Marg and Pantra Trikivithi. And the two go very well together in going back home, back to Godhead. There are two tracks on the train. If you just have one track, the train will be in peril. It'll crash. It'll go off the track. And it'll not be able to go. But if you have two tracks and the train's on the track, it'll go smoothly to its destination. So the two tracks that are given to us through our parampara means passed down from one teacher to another, and it's being lowered down to us to rescue us, is Pantra Trikivithi and Bhagavat Marg. So these two things mean that there are special rules and regulations, Pantra Trikivithi, in order to worship Krishna in his deity form. And there are many mantras that go along with this. Especially this is important for householders, because householders have a necessity to take care of material duties. You have to raise children, you have to have a job, you have to interact with the world in so many ways. And especially nowadays, it's so difficult to interact with the world without getting pulled by the undertow. You know how you go up to some beaches and there's a sign on the beach? You look, oh, what a nice beach. And then you walk up and there's a sign saying, beware, there's an undertow. I remember once I was in Hawaii with a group of brahmacharis, and we were all skinny and white. We'd been on Sankirtan, and you know, we came down to this beach in Honolulu, because we were on our way to India. It's called Makapu. And it's where all the big surfers and boogie board people go, you know, and these intense waves and stuff. But we came walking down to the beach, and all of a sudden one of the beach guards, they have beach guards there, came up to us and said, you're not going in. He said, why not? Because you'll drown in there. You know, because he took one look at us and could see that, you know, we hadn't put our toe in the beach in the water for a long time, and that we would drown if we went in that water. It was so, but to us it just looked like a nice thing. So there are dangers in the material world, and it's a very dangerous place. So to take shelter, we have to take the help given to us by the great acharyas, and in the Pantra Trikivithi, there's this process by which we can stay close to Krishna throughout the day through sound vibration by worshiping the deity. It means that there are many, many mantras that we can chant that keep us in touch with the deity. And the deity worship means also that there's a certain protocol that we have to be clean. It means, you know, we have to bathe before we go and touch the deity. There are certain offenses to avoid while worshiping the deity. And all these things help keep us clear in body and mind, and also ultimately bring us to the one most important thing that our deity worship guru, who was here recently, had taught us, and that is to always remember that Krishna is a person. It's one thing, to always remember that he's a person. And so it's very personal. And when also these Gayatri mantras that are passed down three times a day, and so we sing in these prayers to the spiritual master, yasya prasada bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nagati kutopi, Dhyayam stuvam stasyas yasyas three sandhyam vande guru shri charanadam. There's three sandhyas in the day. There's the morning, afternoon, and evening. And each time, we should stop what we're doing for at least 5 minutes and stop, and then remember the spiritual master and the mercy that's being extended to us. And also, in those Gayatri mantras, they're so mercifully passed down to us through the Pantra Triki system. They're packed full. They're mantras. They're mystical. They actually have within them the seeds of Krishna's personality. And when you water them by chanting and remembering them, Krishna's personality manifests within your heart. The mantra opens up. And the mantras reveal to us Krishna's personality, which is very important. Nija Sarva Shakti in the second mantra of the Shishakshastakam. Nija means personal. So Krishna is a person. We must This is our salvation, to remember the personality of Godhead. Remember that Krishna is a person. All good qualities will come to us by remembering that Krishna is a person. Ananyas chintayanto mam. What is that ananya chintayanto? It means remembering the personality of Krishna and that we're his servant and how wonderful he is. By those things, we'll remember. So the Pantratriki system is meant to bring us to that pinpoint remembrance that Krishna is a personality of Godhead. The mantras themselves reveal it because they're so personal in the Gayatri mantras. We see in Brahma, we chant the Brahma Samhita, Saraswati delivered to him this mantra and said that tapastvam tapa etena tapasiddhir bhavishyati. Perform this tapasya by chanting this mantra and you'll get perfection. And then sarva dharman bhaja vishvasam yadrishi yadrishi shraddha siddhir bhavati tadrishi. Gradually by chanting the mantra, then more and more faith you get because you see for yourself. You actually become a tattvadarshi. You see for yourself. You experience for yourself that Krishna is there in his name, that he's personal, that he's personally manifest in the deity. And that serving him a glass of water doesn't become a routine thing anymore. That I have my little glass of water and this is what I do every day. But you can feel some happiness, some ecstasy. You get up in the morning, you have so many duties to do, but I have to bring Krishna his glass of water. And what do? I put a little tulsi leaf in the water. And then I remember Krishna likes tulsi. Wow, Krishna likes tulsi and he likes this water. Put a little glass there and you remember patram pushpam palam toyam. Krishna says, I like this, bring it to me. And then there's a relationship. There's actually a personal reciprocation. And Krishna, within the heart, he'll enliven you. That, I brought a glass of water to Krishna. So through this Pantratriki system, worshiping Krishna through these mantras, which all contain his names. See, this is a very tricky thing. Within all the mantras that are given by these acharyas, it says, Om this, this, that, and Krishna, Krishna, Rama, Rama. So all day long, you may be chanting all these mantras to sit on your seat or do this or that, but you're chanting names of Krishna. And by doing that, then the whole world becomes auspicious. In fact, there's a wonderful mantra from the Srimad Bhagavatam which says that the gopis, when they're churning the yogurt in the morning to make, they're churning the milk to make butter, their bangles are all swaying. Like you're going through the village. This is one of the benefits of going on parikram around Vrindavan or in Govardhan. You leave early in the morning, and everyone's getting up early in the morning to do their duties. And they may be churning butter or, taking some household duty. And you can hear all these things, and they're actually very sweet to hear people in a village, getting ready, doing certain things. So one of the things that happens in Vrindavan is the gopis, they're churning. Of course, I don't know if that happens very much these days. If you hear much churning going on, you hear all kinds of other things. But you can imagine the churning, and they have bangles on their arms, right? And so, like this, and then they begin to sing. And when the gopis, because they're singing from their heart, their love for Krishna, it says it goes out into the atmosphere and it purifies the three worlds. The singing of pure devotees while they're doing service and they're thinking of Krishna, and they're singing out to him. It purifies the three worlds, this singing, this hearing of Krishna. So this is how our household duties can be through Pantratriki Vidhi, that everything we do, it's somehow or other centered around Krishna. The raising the children, we're going about our daily activities, and somehow or other we have to remain in contact with Krishna. Shrinvanti, Gayanti, Grananti, Bhikshnasa, always, constantly, somehow connected. So this is one side, Pantratriki Vidhi. The other side, the other track I mentioned is Bhagavat Marg. This is the direct process of devotional service, of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and preaching Krishna consciousness. This is a very powerful method because one thing, I got a letter from Gandharvika Radhika, Gandharvika Radha Mataji yesterday. And she wrote me that because she's so busy with school and so many things, very hard for her to get out on Sankirtan, but because one devotee had, pleaded with her to come out, she went out and so did her husband, and she said her husband was distributing at the flea market, and he had showed a Spanish book to one devotee, and it must have been Easy Journey to Other Planets, because that's all the BBT will give us anymore. And we're going to. I wrote to Hanuman down in Spain yesterday and asked him, we want the full course of Spanish books. Savas said it was okay. So he looked at the picture of Vishnu on the front, and this kid went into some kind of ecstasy looking at the different symbols in the hands of Vishnu. And he's like, what's this, conch shell, a club, a wheel? What's that, a lotus flower? Remember the first time you saw Vishnu? Maybe some of you from India don't, because you've seen him since you were a baby. I remember the first time I saw him. Like, who is this? You know, what is he holding? It's a new life's experience, you know, when you see Krishna for the first time. So in effect was, her husband's out preaching. So he shows to a new person, and he goes into some kind of, he had some qualification to look at that picture. And immediately, it was a new life's experience for him. He became so excited to see the pictures, to see the symbols and ask all about it. So what was the result? Sanatan Sundaram, he went into ecstasy because here's a person looking at the picture, becoming enlivened by it. He became enlivened. He went back and told everybody else what happened. They became enlivened. And they began remembering how wonderful Krishna is, how wonderful his expansions, Vishnu are, etc. This is a powerful means of remembering Krishna, to go out and preach it to others. I remember being in the airport in St. Louis, and sometimes we'd be out there all day long distributing books. And so we'd distribute books to many people, and then sometimes they had a long layover. They'd wait for 2 or 3 hours, and they'd sit down, and they'd actually start reading the book we sold them. Lo and behold, somebody reading the book. You can actually see it, right? So they sit down, and they're reading the book, and we look over and go, look at that. He's reading the book. Now, what's he reading? I want to know what he's reading, you know? So sometimes I'd walk behind and look and I'd go, what is he reading now? You know? And for me to go home now and read again, now it becomes a new life's experience, because I'm thinking, like, what's it like to read this for the first time? Because after a while, it can become rote and you just think, oh, yeah, okay, we'll do my shlokas or whatever, and you forget. But if it's for the first time, what was it like the first time you read Prabhupada's books? So you remember that this preaching is so powerful too. It spreads from one person to the next, especially if the people who are preaching are connected to a pure devotee. Now, what it means, Prabhupada says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, if the people who are preaching, even if they're neophytes, if they have been instilled with the faith that Krishna and his name are non-different, they will be able to convert others to Vaishnavism. And you can see, when Prabhupada came to America, it was a perfect place because people didn't know about Krishna. And many people were looking for alternatives. And when they met Prabhupada, they just, whatever he said, is that they said, okay. He said, it's like this. They said, okay, it's like that. So then they said, go, you know. So then he gave them this encouragement to go out and teach it to other people. He told us that. Go out and preach. So some of them said, can we go to London? Prabhupada said, go to London. And we want to go meet the Beatles, the most famous musicians in the world. And he said, yeah, go meet them. And I said, okay. And here the ragtag team took an airplane that they could barely afford, and it had a rope that you had to hold on to get over. There was no, like, seats and stuff. You had to hold on to a rope. That was the first flight they could afford. They went over to England. And they got out with no resources, nothing. But they had this inspiration. Krishna's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's non-different than his name. Let's go talk to the Beatles, you know? And what happened? They went and talked to the Beatles. And the Beatles said, oh, it's a good idea. Why didn't you come here sooner? You know, they were inspired. They became devotees. So this happens. This faith comes from somebody who already has it, not from someone who doesn't believe in Krishna. And then they, you know, they expound something. And say, well, this means this. It doesn't mean Krishna, really. It's just like he says, mom, it doesn't mean to him. It means to some other thing, you see. And then, you know, then people just become confused. And they go, like, you mean like I'm Krishna? And he's like, yeah, yeah, you're Krishna. He's Krishna. Everyone's Krishna. And it's like, it's not, no difference. And it's like, oh, okay. You know, and then everyone. But when someone comes and tells the straight thing, and they know, and they, from their heart, they're tattvadarshi. How? Because they heard from their spiritual master. Then there's potency. They can pass it on to other people. And it doesn't matter where it takes place. Any place it can happen. If you hear from the right person, you'll become inspired. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the wives of the Brahmins who were performing yajna, it's a very famous story, how Krishna and Balaram and his friends were coming through the forest. They used to do every day. They'd go out and they'd tend the calves. This is Krishna's pastime with his friends. And one day, during this pastime, the cowherd boys said, "We're hungry, Krishna." And Krishna said, "Well, let's arrange for some food for you. You go and beg from some Brahmins nearby. They're getting ready for this big yajna they're going to do. And you go and ask them for some food. And tell them in the name of, was it first in the name of Balaram or second? No, first in the name of Krishna. So first they went there in the name of Krishna and they said, "We're begging for some food. We're hungry. You know, we're in the forest with Krishna and we need something." And the Brahmin's response was? Was what? "We're doing a sacrifice, don't disturb us." Yeah. "Come on, kids, you know, run along. Scram, would you?" "Come on. We're doing important things here. Who's this Krishna guy? Beat it, you know." What were you going to say?
That's it.
Yeah, it just told them to go away. We're doing important things here. We're very learned people. We're busy. We're on a schedule. We really don't want to be bothered by this. Please go. And they sent him away, very unceremoniously. So they went back and said, "Krishna, they sent us away." And he said, "Okay, now let's go to the wives of the Brahmins." And this time he said, "No, tell them in the name of Balaram." Or was it first in the name of Balaram?
No, second.
Second in the name of Balaram, because he comes from a higher caste, supposedly. And tell them the name of Balaram this time. So anyway, they went to the wives of the Brahmins, who were cooking and helping their husbands get ready for the sacrifice. So they went and said, "We're with Balaram and Krishna, and we're in the forest, we're hungry, we need something to eat. What can you do?" Immediately, they dropped everything. They were supposedly helping their husbands, but they gave that up. They took all the offerings, everything that was available, and immediately started cooking, elaborate feast. And they walked away from their responsibilities, and they went out to meet Krishna in the forest. And when they came into the forest, there's a wonderful verse there that's described how they saw Krishna for the first time, and they embraced him within their hearts, because he's the super soul in everyone's heart. Actually, you can embrace Krishna within your own heart. And they saw him in the forest. He wears these Vaijayanti garlands, means five different colored flowers around his neck. And they saw him. He was decorated with all kinds of forest decorations. That's how Krishna dresses. He dresses with forest decorations. And even in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, did you know he went in with the Vaijayanti garland? One of his names, Vanamali, because Vanamali means that he dresses with all kinds of forest things. You know, all things from the forest he wears on it, make very beautiful. Wears red and sometimes golden kurtas, and then he wears all these forest things, peacock's feathers, whatever you find in the forest of Vrindavan, he wears these things. And so they saw him and they went into a devotional trance. This is actually samadhi. When you see Krishna and you become so attracted to him that you can't stop thinking of him. This is samadhi, actually. And so they were in that situation. And they offered their lives to Krishna. And Krishna had made an arrangement, actually. He met them there. He accepted their offerings. And then he told them that they could go home. And they said, "No, we can't go home because we've disobeyed our husbands. They will not accept us back." And he said, "No, I'll make all arrangement that they will accept you back." And of course, when they went back, the husbands, they realized that these rituals they were performing were like by pouring ghee on ashes. There's no result. The fire has to be there. The fire is Krishna. So they weren't getting any result from these, you know, pompous performances that they were doing, and they realized that the real devotees were their wives, who had this pure devotional sentiment for Krishna. They'd go off to meet him in the forest. Now, where did the wives get that devotion? Where did they get that from? They got it because in the daily course in a village, people come around selling things. And they bring by, you know, when the milkman comes in the village, they don't bring bottles of milk. What do they bring? They bring the cow. You know, the cow comes by. I remember when I used to live in Bangalore in the old days, they used to bring the cow by. Of course, we had to go check because he'd feed them all kinds of salt and stuff, so they'd drink water. And then, anyway, there was all kinds of tricks. But anyway, they bring the cow, and they milk the cow right there. Or they bring the fruits, vegetables, And it was by barter system, you know, you trade this for that. A friend of mine who lives in Vrindavan now had a huge crop of lemons while I was there. And he went and traded them for avocados. You know, it was going on. They'd trade, you know, I got tons of limes. Let me trade them for avocados. Anyway, this would go on house to house. So many of the gopis in Vrindavan would come door to door, and some of them were bartering things. And over the fence, while they were talking, you know how that takes place when you're bartering and you're talking to the milkman or the laundry lady or something. So, how's things, you know? They would tell him, oh, you should hear about Krishna. Yeah, you know what he did yesterday. And you'd tell him all these pastimes and how beautiful he was and everything like that. And just by hearing from the gopis over the fence, because they're pure devotees, hearing those messages, they became pure devotees, even though they hadn't met him personally. They just heard from others. So this is the power of hearing from those who are pure devotees. And even if it's just for a moment, and you just see the demeanor, actually, then you become infected. So this preaching is also very powerful. One of the lines that I always take heart in this verse is that those who take pleasure in others doing so means grinanti, if they just take it, if they just accept it. Someone may be completely innocent, have no knowledge of Krishna whatsoever, especially here in America, that's mostly how it is. But somehow or other, they're just like an open kind of person. And they just say, sure, I'll take it. I'll take it with me. You know, like a lot of these people we meet, Spanish-speaking people at the Walmarts, they're just open. And say, yeah, es bueno libro de Dios. And they go, yeah? They go, poquito donación. And then like, okay, yeah. It's about God. I'll take it. You know, that's it. They just take it. And that's it. That's all they have to do is just take it. And Krishna blesses them. They get a blessing. They're not going to get a blessing anywhere else. The blessings are not so available these days. You know, you get all kinds of contamination by the modes of material nature. But blessings, hard to come by. So this is a blessing. The Srimad Bhagavatam is a blessing. Yes, Rashi.
I guess offering a book and somebody taking that would have the same effect as you said. Somebody is saying something and you are hearing the analogy that those who are hearing from pure devotees, all they need to do is take it.
Yeah.
In the same way when somebody offers somebody a book, and they take it, it would have that same impact or significance.
Exactly. Right on the point, right on the message. So these books are written kirtan. And actually, it's mentioned in Shastra that by hearing the Shastra, it has a direct effect on one's life. But even more powerful than hearing the Shastra is hearing the pure devotee's commentary on the Shastra. It's even more potent than hearing the Shastra directly. So in these books, we have both. We have the Shastra and we have the commentary by Srila Prabhupada. So yes, when people accept it, they take it. And Prabhupada used to say one word or one line and their life will be changed. Yes.
Another thing is that when we're out on book distribution, and sometimes we encounter people who say, oh, I'm too busy, I don't have time, or I need my money for more important things. It's like the brahmanas who said to Krishna and Balaram, we have to make this sacrifice. We can't stop right now. You know, it's like, I don't have time.
But of course, it happens all the time that there's a man and a woman, and sometimes it's the man who wants and the woman doesn't, or the woman wants and the man doesn't. And this happened a few festivals ago when we were in Santa Cruz. I remember I talked to a couple, and the woman was going, you know, like doing this whole body language thing, like to get him to move on, you know. Like she didn't know what it was, but she just didn't want him talking to anybody else or, you know. And it was like, you know, and then she started walking off, you know, the whole thing. But somehow or other, like he withstood it, because that's hard to withstand, right? He withstood it, and I could see he had some special qualification to take the book. And then she's down the street doing it. That's even, like, more powerful. And it's like, come on, you know. That happens all the time. But still, he took it. You know, it's like, no, no, this is good. This is important. And sometimes even there's, you know, you talk to a group of four people or something like that. Three of them are nice, and one of them's a, you know, a wiseacre, and he wants to break up the whole thing. It's like, eh. And you know, there's sometimes there can be a reversal. And like I met this group last time we were out there, and it was kind of like that. But somehow or other, they walked away. I gave a book to one of them. He said he'd come back later. And they came back. He came back and gave a donation. And I was just thinking that what it takes to go away and then actually consciously think, I'm going to go back and give a $5 donation. That's so powerful. They made so much advancement that he actually came back and gave the donation.
When the cowherd boys came back and told Krishna that the Brahmins wouldn't give anything, he told them not to be discouraged. He said that, you know, that's the way of begging, that sometimes they cross your palm with silver and sometimes they tell you to go away and don't give you anything and you shouldn't be discouraged. And it's the same thing in book distribution. Not everybody is going to take, but we're out there finding the people who are.
And remember the, you know, Krishna and the cowherd boys, they were doing the same thing, you know, trying to get people to take a little to engage in a little service. And some of them are like, no, no. So it's the same situation. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it also says, if those who begged knew how hard it was to give, they wouldn't beg. And if those who were to give knew how hard it was to beg, they'd always give. So any other points? Yes.
Can I just add something to what you were saying about the Bhagavad Mantra? I couldn't find it for a little while, but I wrote something down from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, 2:8:138, and it says, Vrindavani in the spiritual realm of Vrindavan, Krishna is the spiritual ever-fresh keeper. He is worshipped by the chanting of the Kama Gayatri Mantra with the spiritual seed clinging. And Gayantam Trayati Yasmat Gayatri Tvam Tatasmita. One who chants the Gayatri Mantra is gradually delivered from the material clutches. In other words, that which delivers one from material entanglement is called Gayatri. Also, I wrote down, the Kama Gayatri Mantra is just like a Vedic hymn, but it is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. There is no difference between the Kama Gayatri and Krishna. In the mantra is given, in Kama Devaya Krishna, Krishna is called Kamadeva, Pushpabana and Ananda. Kamadev is Madanmoha, the deity who establishes our relationship with Krishna. Pushpabana, he who carries an arrow made of flowers, is Govinda. The personality of Godhead who accepts our devotional service, and Ananda is Gopi Jana Vallabha, who satisfies all the gopis and is the ultimate goal of life.
Thank you very much.
It directly goes along with what you were saying earlier.
Yes, and in the there's an elaborate description in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Sanatana Goswami, especially about the Kama Gayatri Mantra and how there are 24 and a half moons on Krishna's body is composed of 24 and a half moons. And those are represented by the syllables in the Kama Gayatri Mantra. So if one goes deeply within the subject, he or she will find that one can enhance one's meditation on Krishna in a very personal way by entering into what's being given to us through this material. It's also very important, while we're on the subject of hearing and chanting, to read Srila Prabhupada's books thoroughly. And this means all of us here speak English. I've been traveling different places where people don't speak English, and you know it's very difficult there to actually get Srila Prabhupada's books, because first of all they have to be translated if you don't speak the language, right? So in many countries they're not available, and even when they are, sometimes the translations are not to people's liking. So we're so fortunate that Prabhupada translated these books into English first. It wasn't his first language, but he made them available to us in English because his guru asked us him to. So that's what he did. And they're perfectly presented. Now, we should take advantage of it. The fact that we have that available, don't waste any time. Make sure that you use your extra time to read Prabhupada's books, because there's so much potency in just taking time every day to read a little bit of Prabhupada's books. I know when Satyadev Prabhu was busy working, he could only read a little bit every day. But he got so much out of it because he was so eager when he read. You know, like 5 minutes even. He'd have time at the end of the day. Before he'd take rest, he'd read 5 minutes of Bhagavad Gita. And he'd always come with elaborate notes and realizations from his 5 minutes. And I was thinking, God, I read for longer than that. I didn't get anything. You know? So it's not necessarily that you have to sit down and take all day long, but you should every day have some sort of a program to remember that this is a connection to the spiritual world that I'm getting through these books. And that will be greatly enhanced by distributing them also. I like to think from that point of view. Yes, Rakshit and then Malini?
Yeah, I just wanted to comment also that with respect to Srila Prabhupada's books, my realization on that has been that the language is very powerful. It is a very powerful presentation. It is not so much really about the grammatical correctness of the English language. It is the way it is written. I had my own experience having read some prior to this Indian philosophers, and there have been several of them. Some of them are cut and dry. One of them I came across and I read for many, many years was a very enlightened philosopher of the last century, Jiddu Krishnamurti, who's written many books. And what was impressive was the presentation, the language. When you read it, you don't want to put down. And it's the same thing with Prabhupada's books. Start anywhere, and it is very powerful. Whether it is in these established scriptures or the commentaries that he has written, it's the same thing. And often when I meet people and they say, what is this or material all about, the first thing I say is read it, it's very powerful. Mm.
Nice. Pass back to Melanie.
Can I work?
Pardon me?
Can I go? Can I to work?
Yeah, here, put your... Oh, it's on my card. Right? Okay. Yes?
Could you just listen to the last one about in this verse? And Prabhupada is saying, he was emphasizing so much about humility, that feeling. And one point which I still remember from the class is that many times when I personally read Srimad Bhagavatam or anything, especially something about creation, it's like very difficult to understand because the subject matter is like scientific and everything, so it's hard for me to understand. So I was not sure what to do, like, should I ask someone what it is? Or even if I ask someone, it's still hard for me to understand. But Prabhupada said in that class that even though you don't understand, you still keep reading. Just the vibration itself is so powerful that it will purify you. And once you get purified, then you understand that something happens. So Prabhupada said, like, just keep reading. Hmm. Even though you don't understand sometimes, then...
That's a nice point, because that's one of the arts of hearing that you're bringing out, is that even if I don't understand, I should understand the principle that by being in the... Ram Lakshman Prabhu is leaving. Haribo! Is that by being in the association of that sound vibration, that Krishna will reveal it. And this is a very important point, because it's not an ascending process, but it's a descending process. And the nature of our intellect is that we want to conquer everything. And we want to say, oh, I understood it. Well, like we get into the Sankhya section, and we might want to think, well, I want to know all these things. Well, why? It's like, well, so I can, like, have it, you know, and I can, use it some way. And this, the intellect wants to, like, control everything. And so another way of hearing is, like, I may not understand, or I may not completely... You know, it may be over my head. But still, I submissively hear. And this kind of submissive hearing I experienced when I was in Vrindavan this last time, because I was with a group of devotees, and every day at the same time, we'd stop whatever we were doing, and we'd come into this room, and everyone would just, we'd just hear. And we were talking about realizations one night, and there was one sannyasi there, named Dhanadhar Swami, and he said, and I forget what the question was that we were all talking about, but he said, I'm just enjoying being here, listening, because I'm experiencing Krishna by hearing. In other words, Krishna's in the vibration, and not that I'm trying to get it so that I can give a class or that I can, you know everything, but just be there. Just be there and submissively hear it, and it will have its power, and it has its effect just by hearing the vibration and not necessarily trying to capture every last little thing. Although that's not a bad idea to memorize things and learn things, but even Prabhupada himself said when he first used to listen to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he said he didn't understand him because it was so erudite and the language was, you know, that he was using was so, and the philosophical concepts that he was speaking, at first, Srila Prabhupada said, I didn't understand it. He said, but I kept hearing. He had faith in the hearing. And this is the process. Everything is revealed through this. So this is a very important verse for both our own advancement in spiritual life and for our mission, which is to do the sadhana of the service of distributing the sound vibration to others. First and foremost, it's our sadhana. It's good for us. Also, it's good for everyone else to come in contact with these writings and with the vibration of the Hare Krishna mantra, and also with the good will of the devotees. As our first principle, when we go out into public, we make our first goal to leave everyone with a good impression. As I was thinking the other day, I actually wrote this down. I was looking at this on a piece of paper trying to figure out what I wrote because I can often not read what I wrote. That was that one, how much effect can one statement have on your life? And I think back to your own self. If someone made a statement to you sometime, one comment to you sometime in your life, that comment actually can affect you for the rest of your life. Somebody says, oh, you know, you look very nice today. I guess they're making, you know, clothes for large-sized people or something, you know, whatever they say. You know, maybe that. Or maybe a positive comment, like commenting, you know, giving you some encouragement some way. And then it always sticks with you somehow. So what people comment, what they say, is very powerful. And what devotees say when they go out to preach on this mission is very important. So we have to remember every comment we make to people, the mode in which we approach them, and the mode that we leave them, that we let them go, is vitally important. It's not just about the numbers of books. It's also about how we're affecting people when we approach them, how we approach them, how we talk to them, what comment. Think about it, how a comment has made in your life a vast impact and has stuck with you. Now remember, when you talk to people, what kind of comments you want to leave with them so that they'll remember for the rest of their life. When they meet you, like, what do you want them to remember for the rest of their life that they met a devotee? Meditate on that deeply, and this is the process of kirtan, of taking this information and hearing it ourselves, realizing it, and then taking it out to distribute to others. It's not for unadvanced people. Only advanced people can do that type of thing, to go out and preach it to others. But those who do, take that initiative to go out and preach it to others, to make it available to others, get special consideration. Prabhupada said this. You get special consideration from Krishna if you take this austerity to hear and chant yourself and then go out and give it to others. Because it's not easy. But if you do it, it becomes easy by Krishna's mercy because he makes it addicted to it. Like these brahmacharis here, they're addicted to book distribution. They cannot stop doing it. From morning till night, that's what they do. And, you know, there's other young men around the Silicon Valley that are doing so many other kind of things, addicted to making money and stuff. They're not. They're addicted to distributing transcendental sound. How is that? What kind of a blessing is that? You get that by Krishna's mercy, that he'll actually make you attracted. You know, he'll inspire you from within the heart. And with any other kind of service also, through hearing and chanting, and knowing that Krishna is in his deity. The pujaris here, they wake up at, you know, 3 in the morning or 4 in the morning, and then they come in and they do all these services with gusto. Every day they're decorating the deity because they've heard Krishna's in the deity. They have faith and they see Krishna there. How else would anybody else get up at 4 in the morning? Most people don't get up. They get up at, you know, 10 o'clock. I called somebody the other day for a business call at 11 o'clock in the morning, and I found out that that was way too early. You know? Way too early. Anyway, so this devotional service is a very... So it's a very rare thing, and we're very fortunate to have it, and especially fortunate to be able to give it to other people, because then it augments the entire process. And if they take it, then we've just hit another home run every time someone takes one of these things. It's the most unusual and the most significant thing that could happen in this universe is if somebody would take that and they would dance in a kirtan, or they would take some prasadam, or they would take a book, they would buy a book, or they would appreciate that we are out there. A lot of people come up in Santa Cruz and they go, "Well, I'm really glad you guys are out here." That's devotional service. They're appreciating. So it's good for everyone. It's good for us. And so now we're continuing on with the December marathon. Devotees are already out there this morning. Some had gone out early. Did Srivas go? San Mateo? Okay, well, we'll have to find out. And it's a nice day. There are many spots available for some who are going out today. Kurunath Prabhu is handing in his Lakshmi already. Maybe he already started this morning. I'm just kidding. And then, of course, tomorrow, Sunday, we're having a special edition of the Sunday program to talk about, you know, Bhagavad Gita and preaching. And we'll have Arjuna's arrows here to distribute along with cases of Bhagavad Gitas for everyone who wants to take them. And then next Wednesday, we'll also have here Divyanga Prabhu will be here for the Wednesday night program and will help us all the way through the weekend to distribute our quota of, what was it that we ended up with? 10,000 books we're doing? I can't remember.
That's the second goal.
Oh, the second goal was, anyway, to help us get out all our books. And then next Saturday, of course, is World Enlightenment Day, the day when everyone all over the world goes out on Sankirtan, do, you know, some kind of distribution of books. And then we'll see when the dust settles how we're doing. Any other news or information about our mission and how we're doing? Any other reports? Okay, so now we'll have Guru Puja and then Prasadam, and then we can go about our business. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki, Gopremanande.